MoneyWeb at midday for all your up-to-date stories.
Once a powerhouse of logistics and trade, Transnet is now reporting a staggering 2.2 billion rand loss. Freight demand is high, yet the company seems unable to meet it. So it begs the question, what's gone wrong and how do we turn things around? I'm in conversation now with Professor Jan Havenga, Emeritus Professor at Stellenbosch University, leading expert in logistics and freight economics. Professor, a very warm welcome. And how then do we reconcile those two realities? And what does it say about the company? Current operations?
Well, it is quite important in the sense of, I'm just going to make a flat out statement to say the 2.2 billion is a moot point. It's actually not important at all. It makes the fact that we are focusing on it is part of the problem. Transnet is not SAL, it's not the South African Airways, it's not the NEL. The economic value of Transnet is not only the jobs that it gives to the people that work there and the profit that it might make for government. Transnet loses the economy a billion rand a day. Every day, this economy is billion rand poorer because of poor performing logistics in South Africa. And it's because there's so many parts of Transnet, so many things that are thrown together. And it should actually be unbundled so that we can focus on the various portions of it and then fix it. I'll give you an example. One small part, it's an important portion for South Africa, but a portion of Transnet would be the Durban Container Terminal. Now, if you ask me, do we need the Durban Container Terminal or do we need South African Airways? We don't need South African Airways. The country doesn't need it, but the country must have Durban Container Terminal and it must work properly. So I can tell you that if Transnet made a 20 billion rand loss, but it did everything that it was supposed to do, get all the minerals to the sea that we want to export, get all the freight that is rail friendly on our major corridors on the rail, and get it out of off our roads. If it stops, if trucks stop destroying our provincial rural areas because of domestic minerals that is now on the road, that should be on the rail. If all of those things happen, 20 billion rand would have been a bargain. So the problem is Transnet needs to be unbundled, it needs to be restructured, and the various portions needs to be released so that private sector can invest and also government can invest in places where it makes sense. You know, part of Transnet is, for instance, now that they've separated the infrastructure manager and published a network statement, and you can have private sector rail operators now using Transnet's network, which is actually South Africa's rail network. Now that they've done that, government doesn't for Sunrail ask Sunrail to make a profit. In fact, government subsidizes Sunrail. So, well, but within Transnet, you have this network, and this network is completely broken, and nobody's investing in it because we've not done the work in disaggregating and dismantling and unbundling Transnet, because we haven't done that. And if you've done that, then the 2 billion is actually nothing. Mm.
Professor, why do you think there is a reluctance to embark on an unbundling exercise? It's not the first time that this issue has been raised.
I think it's not been driven correctly, the way that it should. This is the problem. Now, in a certain sense, our Director General of the Treasury, he's made a very clever remark as far as this is concerned. He said that he wants to see a financial model of Transnet. And I know that he means a disaggregated financial model. So we want to know in this country what the various portions of Transnet is worth, what the debt is that should be assigned to it, and how we can unbundle it. So that needs to be done before we can take this discussion further. The problem is, as far as I know, up to very recently, that financial model that will lead us in the unbundling of Transnet has not been done yet. Mm. It's not been done yet. And I can understand then, if you put all of these things together, and you jumble them together, you get Transnet's current balance sheet, which nobody wants to touch. It's a massive amount of debt, and we're not sure what that debt is for. And so for me, I don't understand that reluctance. I don't understand the reluctance of why it doesn't get done. I think in a certain sense, if I look at the new Minister of Transport, she had immediately a lot of things on her plate the moment that she took office. She's done some good work in terms of getting the network statement fixed, getting the tariff fixed, getting it through, getting Transnet to publish it before the end of last year, which will enable us now to see private trains on our network. But I think the next thing that now needs to be done that I hope becomes very, very high up on the agenda is the unbundling of Transnet, driven by or led by, I would say, a financial model that's disaggregated to the level of all of the various assets and portfolio portions of Transnet. I think that now needs to be done. It becomes a critical issue.
Professor, do you think that there is a model or an appetite for that model you suggest of private sector involvement, or given the difficulties that you've outlined and the speed at which things are moving, that that appetite is perhaps starting to wane?
No. I think if we can disaggregate Transnet and unbundle it correctly, there's a massive appetite to get involved. I don't think that's the problem. There's an appetite from the private sector to get involved in the various terminals, in concessioning in terms of the various lines. And there I have to say, I also have to mention, the minister did put a lot of effort into a PSP office that she has created. So to begin the work, of getting the private sector involved. And I think that's quite good. And I'm very glad that she's done it. And she's brought some really good people in to work in this PSP office. The thing that is tripping us up at the moment is the fact that we have not unbundled Transnet correctly, or have not done, I would say, the analysis work required for that unbundling. But the minister is focusing on PSP work, and she has put a lot of effort into creating an office to do that. So that's another good sign, good thing that she's done last year.
And Professor, just a final question. Over the past couple of weeks, there's been a fair amount of positive press as far as the Group Chief Executive, Michelle Phillips, is concerned. Do you share that? Do you think that she is on the right track, or do you think she's out of her depth?
I'm going to say something tongue in the cheek. Yes, I do share it. And in fact, sometimes from time to time, when I get a little bit, I would say, disheartened because we're not doing the financial work, we're not doing the unbundling, I feel we actually should have put somebody less competent in there, because Michelle is hell-bent in saving Transnet. She's doing the work to save the company in its current form. She is really good in the sense of she's approachable to her clients, she's approachable to her people. She shows very good leadership skills, and she's doing all of those things correctly. And she is trying to save Transnet. Whereas I think we're now at the point where we need to unbundle Transnet. But she's a good leader. I've got tremendous respect for her.
She's inherited
a very difficult situation.
Indeed, a serious inflection point at this time. Professor Jan Havenga, thank you very much indeed.